Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, October 17th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Haley Whalen, and we welcome Alexandra Stafford. On this week's Food Friday, we're looking at the enduring power of cookbooks, not just as tools for the kitchen, but as cultural objects people want to buy, gift, gather around. Even in this age of endless online recipes, printed cookbooks are thriving, and they're connecting communities of cooks in fresh and meaningful ways. We'll explore that topic today. Frankly, it's a very cerebral topic. I'm not sure I have the intellectual capacity to pull it off. But you know what? We'll give it a shot. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you want to join in. You're smarter than I am. Give it a shot. VoxPop at WAMC.org is the email. Back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and we welcome back our buddy Haley Whalen. Haley owns Arthur's Market in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District and also publishes Edible Capital District. She goes out of her way for good butter. In fact, we did one of my favorite Food Fridays ever when we did the blind butter taste test on this show. She loves dogs, believes that small independent businesses are the beating heart of the Capital District. She hosts a popular cookbook club at Arthur's Market, and that's germane to today's topic. Also joining us is Allie Stafford, who graduated from Yale in 2003, then went to cooking school, worked in Philly in professional kitchens, including 2 years at the acclaimed restaurant Fork. You have to say it carefully. She's been a newspaper food writer. Her first cookbook, Bread, Toast, Crumbs, was nominated for the IACP Julia Child First Book. Her second, Pizza Night, was a New York Times bestseller. Cookbooks are what we're talking about today. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Haley, Allie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so we have to get this out of the way right now. Haley Whalen, you had a baby how long ago?
3 months today.
You look like you're awake. What is going on?
I've told you this before, but I'll tell everyone I'm so proud of Hal. He slept 12 hours and 2 minutes last night. I am very well rested and present and accounted for.
This might be a miracle baby.
This is
great.
He is.
So motherhood's treating you well.
It is. We've been very lucky.
That's so awesome. Well, I'm glad you made it in today. And this came just about an hour ago to my mailbox, the brand new Edible Capital District. How cool is that? It's a holiday edition. Now, it's not out yet, right? Officially?
No, it'll be out on shelves the first week of November. But it is our first ever holiday edition for Edible Capital District. So this is one that my teammate, Jen Vander Orkin, and I are very, very proud of, and hopefully that you guys will all enjoy.
Well, that is so cool. Now, Allie Stafford, you've been on this show a couple times before. Once was during the pandemic.
Yes.
And then once was in person. What we talked about your first book, right? Bread, Toast, Crumbs.
Yes, it was a long time ago.
It was like years and years ago. Well, you're holding up very well.
Thank you. Good for you.
You have now this Pizza Night book, which, by the way, the cover of this book is making me salivate. I mean, that is a beautiful-looking thin-crust pizza. This was a bestseller for the New York Times, yeah?
It was, yes.
So do you have anything planned for the future?
No, I don't. Actually, I'm at the point right now where I swear I'll never write another cookbook again.
Why? Okay, let's get into this. And I'm going to let you sort of lead the discussion, Haley, but I want to know what it takes to make one of these books.
Sure, yeah. And I swore I would never write another cookbook after Bread, Toast, Crumbs. And you did anyway. And I did anyway. So
right.
I'm sure that it will come a time. But right now, I think I am still a little bit exhausted by the promotional period of the book. I mean, it's been out for a year and a half, but it's just kind of that's exhausting.
Do the publishers say, get out there, get out?
It's really up to you. And I'm such an introvert. I really did make an effort this time to go on a tour and to do as many events as possible. But I think after the, like, sort of, I don't know, 3 months of doing events, I was like, I'm done.
I mean, you know, if you don't put your picture on the book, couldn't you just hire someone to pretend to be you?
You could. I mean, I think people do. And I honestly did nothing for Bread, Toast, Crumbs. I didn't go anywhere. With Pizza Night, I really did want to kind of try to make more of an effort. But it's basically a 2-year process writing a book, from when you kind of get the green light from your editor and publisher to when the book hits stands.
Yeah.
And the first year is all spent just writing the book, getting the, I mean, table of contents first, getting it organized, writing the intros for the various chapters, getting the recipes, you know, perfected, tested.
You have to test every recipe yourself.
You do, and you hire a recipe I mean, you don't have to, but you ideally you would hire a recipe tester to test every single recipe.
Now, you write the forewords and you write the chapter opens.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yep.
Where do you get the recipes?
The recipes are, so, you know, it's, I mean, everything is kind of, I feel like every recipe is always, there's always some sort of inspiration behind, whether it's like a local restaurant or a pizza. You know, this is the thin crust pizza. Like I'm from New Haven, New Haven, Connecticut area. So like New Haven style pizza. Is
that
like,
New Haven style?
It's not exactly. It's not in a, because to really make New Haven style pizza, I feel like you need, it's a sort of larger pizzas. You really do sort of need like a big like pizza oven. These are smaller thin crust pizzas, but they're inspired by that style.
Interesting. Chef Rick Orlando, who's on the show regularly, he's a New Haven guy, and he's always, the New Haven pizza.
Yeah.
I've never had one. Really?
It's worth the trip.
Is it worth the trip?
Yeah, white clam pizza is just...
I'm totally down with the white clam pizza. Yeah.
I quickly toot Allie's horn on the recipe front?
Toot away.
So I do read a lot of cookbooks, and in selecting cookbooks for Cookbook Club at Arthur's, I spend a lot of time looking at the recipes and thinking, like, okay, is this going to work well for our members? And one of the things that I find most valuable about Allie's books is that the recipes are super, super reliable. I say this about very few cookbook authors. Ina Garten is probably the other person
famous.
That I would, she's, you know, famously foolproof. But that comes down to the work and effort that goes into beforehand, you know, testing yourself, hiring recipe testers. I cooked from Pizza Night at least 6 times with family and friends this summer. And the reason that I keep going back to it is her dough works. You know, it, when I'm not like a genius chef, but when I follow Allie's instructions, it works. And even when I make a mistake, you give good pointers on where there's wiggle room, where there's not. So that work that you put in ahead of time pays off for your readers.
We're joined by Haley Whalen today and Allie Stafford. Haley, let's pick up that thread for a moment. We'll get back to Allie's book in a minute. Tell us about how you pick those books for the cookbook club at Arthur's Market, and which, you don't have to give names or titles. How do you know, this one's not going to make the grade?
Yeah. Well, so I learned a lot with the first year of Cookbook Club in terms of selecting books. I wasn't sure whether people would join because they felt really, really serious about cooking and baking or whether they were joining because they wanted a social environment. It's definitely a little bit of both. But that's something I keep in mind. You know, what book has a range of sort of technical requirements? So I want to make sure that I have both a range of books across the 4 books we select and also within each book that someone who doesn't have a ton of time, you know, they can throw together a dip and it's easy and it's quick and it gives them a good way to contribute to our potluck meals, which is how we celebrate each book.
So people bring their own stuff.
Yeah. So the way it works, we have 4 books for the course of the year and we do 4 potluck meals. Each meal, everyone cooks from one of the books. So I'm looking for books where people can find a range. You know, someone who wants a quick option has a quick option. Someone who wants to really test their cooking prowess can make homemade noodles or something for their dish. I'm looking for a variety of books in terms of cuisine. I'm looking for a variety of books in terms of the style of book. We were just talking about this earlier. You know, this year I have a how-to book that really teaches. I have a narrative book. I have sort of a diet-specific book. It's just all vegetable-focused. So trying to get a variety and then also trying to make sure they all work for potluck. So that's
a practical matter, if you have people working from the same book, how do you ensure that they all don't make the same recipe?
Okay. So we have a Google spreadsheet before each party with recipe signups, and I go through the book and pull recipes that seem like good potluck options because that is the one
element. So you're in charge.
Yeah, of coming together for our parties is you do have to bring them. It's not like serving at home. But that recipe sign-up sheet is loose. If you decide someone else has signed up for something and you're passionate about it, we'll have 2. Lucky us.
Yeah, okay.
If there's a recipe I haven't added and you want to bring it, you know, it's not a strict system.
We are joined today by Allie Stafford, who is a New York Times best-selling cookbook author, and also Haley Whalen from Arthur's Market. How's the market?
Good. I owe my team a huge shout out.
You've been relaxing, huh?
Yeah, they've Hardly. Made maternity leave possible. And I think it's all
it
going well.
It was as bustling as ever when she was gone. I went multiple times and it was just perfect.
That's
Everything.
Great. Yep. You
Credit
know,
to them.
When you, and we have to take a break here, and we'll get back into this in a minute, but when you pitched this idea, and frankly, I wasn't even sure. I said, wow, she's on maternity. I don't know if we're going to do a show or not. And then you touched base last week. And you pitched this wonderfully in saying, you know, cookbooks are much more than how-to books. They're sort of a way that communities over generations sort of bind together. And let's explore that on the other side of the break. 800-348-2551. It's Haley Whalen. It's Allie Stafford. And we're going to hit the break now, and then we'll do some underwriting. I'll tell you about a big cookbook event I'm doing, which is terribly exciting. Take notes. Get a pen, everybody. So I'm doing this event November 3rd with Pam Abrams and Chef Annette Tomei at Franklin Square Market. It's a cookbook show. This is serendipity. We're doing a cookbook show today. We're going to talk about the year's best cookbooks with Pam and Annette. It's something we did on the air last year. This year we're getting together, and if you want to go, you can go to wamc.org/on the road and find out. It's Monday, November 3rd, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. We'll browse cookbooks. We'll eat some food, a delicious lunch prepared from some of those books. It'll be, I think it's a very limited guest list, maybe 50. So if you want in, I would check it out. It's wamc.org, and then you go to On the Road, and there's details there. All right, so we're talking cookbooks today with Haley Whalen and Allie Stafford, and Allie, who's just now brainstorming that third cookbook. We're going to talk about that coming up. Let's go back to the social aspects of cookbooks, and the way you pitched this really struck me. It's sort of in a time when everything is fractured, and there's balkanization of media everywhere, in the internet, and the TikTok, and whatever, cookbooks still remain. You know, they're still a thing. Why?
Allie and I were just talking about this as we were sitting outside before the show. I think there's a lot of reasons why. I mean, part of it is that they're tangible. To me, I love a paper book. I love the feel of it. I like being able to put it down, pick it up again. I also find that there's something about a tangible book that makes it a reference tool, whether that's, you know, because I'm learning and I'm referencing a recipe or a technique, or whether that's just because I'm looking back for whatever inspiration struck when I first flipped through it. And then I think that there's different kinds of cookbooks. Some of the best cookbooks read like books themselves. They're narrative. You can sit down with them and get to know the author. Some of them provide recipes that are foundational recipes. Like I was saying, I've used Allie's pizza dough recipe a handful of times this summer.
You have a boy. You're going to be using this a lot.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. I really, it's so useful. Allie, I don't know, you probably have more perspective as well on why cookbooks have stayed with us.
I think they give just people, I think people just, they need that inspiration, even though there's inspiration at every turn. If you open up your phone, you're on in any app, you're going to get fed with something. But I actually went to Hetty's, her book came out last week. Her new book is called Linger. This is Hetty McKinnon. And she really talked about the reason why she wrote this book, Linger, is because she felt like after the pandemic and then just in the world we live in, that she just wanted to bring people together to linger at the table. And so it's all salads, but she just, you know, it's so important for her that people have, you know, variety and something interesting. She also is funny. She says she doesn't ask her guests. So this was all shot in like real time too. So she would make all the salads and then people would come to her table, linger, eat the salad. And she didn't ask about allergies or anything. She just said, there's going to be something for everybody. And I want them to kind of test their, if they don't like eggplant, I want them to like eggplant.
Right. So she didn't tell anybody about allergies. So no. If they dropped that, it was okay. They're really going to linger, let me tell you.
But I think it is just, I think people just, they need that sort of inspiration. I can't remember, it was a long time ago, way pre-pandemic, but there was this whole sort of movement. It was I don't know if it was like pasta Friday or like sort of meatball Friday. I want to say it was like through Serious Eats, and the idea was just, you just make something really simple, spaghetti, meatballs, and then people come over and eat it. It doesn't have to be fancy. But I think, you know, people like to have the inspiration to get people together.
I mean, but that's eating.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, cookbooks listen, I can't cook. I can barely boil water, and it's well known, and I'm not hiding from it. But to me, it's almost a generational thing. Moms and children and grandparents, and I'll ask you both while we discuss this. Haley, what is your go-to old-school cookbook from when you were maybe a kid or growing up?
That's such a good question, because I do have a copy of The Joy of Cooking, but I think I've only opened it to one page. I pull it out on Thanksgiving for the apple sausage stuffing recipe, which is really good. Highly recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, part of the reason I like cooking is that my mom didn't really like cooking when I was growing up, and I love to eat. So in the name of self-preservation and gluttony, I learned to cook. That's a great question. I don't know if you have a go-to, Allie.
Mine was Sally Schneider's, it was called A New Way to Cook. It's very thick. There are very few photos. I mean, this was before cookbooks became such a sort of like coffee table item. I mean, I think there are maybe 5 pictures in the entire book, and they're not good photos. They're not inspirational. But that was the book that I, like, she was my Julia Child, I feel like, for, you know, other people. Like, she taught techniques and taught, and then there's everything from salad dressing to braising short ribs to making pasta to desserts. And I still refer to it. There's so many good recipes in it.
There are so many recipes that I feel are lost to the mists of time because they weren't written. My German grandmother, good heavens, there are things that I can't even pronounce, and I remember the taste, and heavens, I've looked online, I can't find them, you know?
Oh, I have a cookbook for you.
What's that?
I think it's called German Cooking. It's by Louisa Weiss. It came out last year.
We did that one with Annette and Pam last year.
She's wonderful, and she really, just very well researched, and talk about a beautiful writer. She's one of my favorites. I mean, most beautiful writer. Her newsletter is great. And her cookbooks are great, very well tested.
We're joined today by Allie Stafford and Haley Whalen. Haley is the proprietor and owner of Arthur's Market, and there's a popular cookbook club there. She's also a great guest on this show who just loves butter, and I share that love. Allie Stafford's written a couple of cookbooks. The third one's on the way. Bread Toast Crumbs was the first one, and then the bestseller is Pizza Night. And I gotta say, I opened it randomly as we were getting going here, the Detroit style. I mean,
it's really good.
Forget about it.
It's really good.
What prompted you, Allie? What drove you to write the first one? And then, even after you said it was unpleasant, to do another one?
Well, the first one is all based on my mother's peasant bread recipe. It's this very easy, no-knead bread recipe that she kept secret for a very long time. I convinced her to let me share the recipe on my blog, and it was pretty much an instant success. I thought that it was foolproof because it's as far as bread recipe goes, it is the simplest of the simple bread recipes. But bread is just tricky for people. So very quickly, I was getting comments. This didn't work out for me. And I was troubleshooting and making a lot of bread. And because I had a lot of bread, I had to use the leftover bread, the in sliced form, in crumb form. And so I had that idea for this sort of like loaf to crumb bread baking
book. I love it.
And it was really lots of my readers actually that inspired all the variations. I never made a single variation of the peasant bread recipe. I followed my mom's recipe to a T for all the years. People would write in and say, I've added herbs, or I added olives, I added jalapenos and cheddar. People were making all these variations, and that inspired me. So the first chapter of Bread Toast Crumbs is 40 variations of that bread recipe. With Pizza Night, again, so I swore I was never going to write another book.
Yeah.
And then I honestly think it was like I found myself bored with the 3 pizzas that I was making over and over and over again. I had sort of 3 go-to topping combinations.
And this is your own dough, too.
My own dough, yes. Okay. And just, you know, I had like a kale and creme fraiche pizza that I loved. I would make like a sausage and onion for my kids, a margarita. And that was basically it. I would make these 3 pizzas on repeat. And I thought, if I'm bored, like surely other people are bored with their pizza combination.
I'm not bored of the kale and creme fraiche yet, so everybody knows.
I might not go for that one. But pizza in general, it could be the same every time.
I mean, sometimes the simplest is the best. I can't ever not order a margarita at a pizza restaurant. But anyway, I thought that maybe I would I could come up with 52 pizzas, one pizza for every, you know, Friday or, you know, for one night of the
genius,
and then pair it with a salad. So there's 52 pizza salad pairings in the book, one for every week.
Now, you're a good cook, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think Ali Stafford, New York Times best-selling cookbook author, do you have to be a good cook to write a good cookbook?
No, I think a little bit. You have to have a sense of taste. I think you have to have a sense of like practicality. Like, what are people willing to do and not do? I mean, I guess it's also all about the delivery. If you are going to pitch a sort of like simple recipe, then it better be simple. It better not require five different pans and all these techniques. I think there are certain, you know, page turners for people. They're like, as soon as they see, even like starting from with dried beans, they're not going to do it. They, you know, people want to be able to use canned beans. They want simple. So you need to be able.
Well, not everyone, right?
Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
They want simple.
I definitely do.
So I think, I mean, you have to have, you have to be a somewhat good cook. You don't have to be, I don't think you have to have restaurant experience by any means. You just have to be a good home cook.
You agree, Haley?
Sort of. I think you probably do have to be a good cook or at least very thorough in your testing. But I also agree with Ali that you don't have to have restaurant experience. You can be a great home cook or baker. And if you then go through that process of knowing how to write a recipe and test it so that other people can use it, you can produce a really useful, inspiring book.
I think, like, I feel like my sister, she's a doctor. She's very busy. Her husband's a doctor. I feel like that is the kind of person that actually should write, like, a weeknight cookbook because, a weeknight cooking cookbook because they are the people that actually don't have time. Like, I'm home doing my blog. I can prep throughout the day. And things that I think are really easy to throw together are actually maybe not that easy for other people because they haven't been, like, prepping throughout the day and getting some of the little things done. It's like people who are really cramped for time are the ones that should write these books and who are probably prepping on the weekends to make their lives easier during the week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having so much fun talking to you. I forgot to give the phone number most of the time. So if anybody wants to call in, it's 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. We're joined by Haley Whalen and Ali Stafford today. Now, the Bread Toast Crumbs book, you said that when you made those recipes, you followed them to the letter, right?
Yes.
And yet, baking, I think, seems to be like, you better follow this exactly. But there's an improvisational aspect of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
How do you capture that in a book like Pizza Night?
I think you can always give tips for things if, you know, if ingredient substitutions, if you don't have this, you can use this. I will say so for bread, pizza, anything with dough, I encourage everybody you have to use a scale to measure, at least to start. But that said, given your environment and given the flour you are using, it is possible that you may need to alter the recipe slightly. You may need to use less water. The doughs might be it might be too soupy because you live in a humid environment. You're using a flour that that doesn't absorb as much of the water. So the dough is just, it's not behaving as the sort of recipe says. So you have to be able to, as a recipe writer, kind of anticipate those issues and tell them, well, if the dough looks too soupy, if it's not forming a ball, you have to be able to, you may need to add a little bit of a ball. You may need to add a little bit of flour. But if they haven't measured with a scale to start, it's really hard to know if they are measuring accurately. And then you can't really make meaningful substitutions if you haven't measured accurately.
This is what I've heard about baking. It's very scientific, and it's kind of scary to me. The number here is 800-348-2551. You went to cooking school. You have a lot of experience. Are there books written, and I'll ask Haley this first. You're a cookbook person. Are there books written by people who should not write cookbooks?
I think there are. Ali is generally hears all my cookbook griping. I think
this is what I want.
Yeah, no,
bring
I
it.
Think there are. I think I have picked up books that, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. I've picked up books that felt so promising looking at their cover and felt like they offered, you know, simple elegant solutions that I was like, oh, wow, that's going to be a go-to. And I've opened it and I've either found a total lack of originality. Like, I don't need another roast chicken recipe that tells me how to roast a chicken the exact same way everybody else roasts a chicken. So lack of originality, I think, frustrates me, especially because there's so much on the market. Bad recipe testing is probably my number one gripe.
And you don't know, you won't know that until you open the book,
which is why it's such a gripe. Because if you trust a cookbook and you don't have somebody, an author like Allie, who has invested in and taken the time to really test those recipes, you're set up for failure. And I think that that's more common than it might seem. The other thing that I really appreciate, this is a personal opinion, but I really appreciate a cookbook author who treats their audience like an intelligent group of people and who doesn't sort of dumb down their recipes.
Well, I mean, some people are dumb, right?
Some people are dumb.
I mean, if you put me in it, I'll need a cookbook that is basic level.
Well, let me put it this way. So the reason I think that speaking to your audience intelligently and then doing your homework to set them up for success is so important, because I'm not an experienced chef. And when I've read dough and bread books in particular to start with, I've generally felt really intimidated. When someone has thought through all the what ifs and trusts that I can also read and follow that logic, I feel like I'm supported by that book. The other thing I'll say is almost every time I've tried a dough recipe, the first time, it has not come out exactly as I thought. The only recipes where I feel like I've gained confidence are the ones that I've made over and over again.
Yeah.
Because if I'm making that one recipe the same way over and over again, then I can learn those variables that Allie was talking about. Like, okay, it's summer versus winter. My kitchen's a different temperature. I'm noticing, because I've made this repeatedly, that the dough's different. And then I can go back to Allie's book and say, okay, she said when it's looser, I should add a little bit more flour. I'm going to try that.
So you're gaining insight via experience.
Yes.
That maybe you can't put in a book.
I think that's true. I think there's experience you can't put in a book. But if you've done your job as an author, you've given your reader a reference point so that when they start to notice those nuances, they can go back to your book and be like, oh, that's what Allie's talking about. I get that. Let me try what she's suggesting.
Allie, when you write a book, how do you know when it's too much information?
Oh, it's a really good question. And I think there is a balance, because you want the recipe itself, I think, to read pretty cleanly and simply. I'm more of a fan of having the recipe itself be pretty clean and then having notes, or sort of like see note below if this happens, just so that it doesn't clutter up.
Yeah.
It's like easier on the eyes. But you can't always do that. There are things, like sourdough is very complicated. And
why? I hear that all the time.
Well, it's just a little bit like yeast bread baking. If you come from the sourdough world and you make a yeast bread, you're like, it's like feels like a breath of fresh air because it's just so, so easy. If you come from the yeast bread baking world and you go to sourdough, you're like, what are all these stretches and folds that I'm doing? And why is it taking so long? And it's just like with yeasted bread dough, if it doubles or triples in volume, it's in collapses, it's usually very forgiving. With sourdough, I always recommend people use like these straight sided vessels for when it's rising, because you don't want it really to go over double. If it goes over double, I mean, sometimes it's fine, but it risks over fermenting. And then as soon as it over ferments, it's a puddle and you can basically only make crackers out of it.
Now, when you wrote this Pizza Night book, mm-hmm. and again, this is a lot of people bought this book. You had an editor, presumably, yes?
Oh, yes.
And how important was that editor to your process?
Incredibly important. I am so grateful for my editor and for all of the editors, because there are different editors. One is sort of looking at just like more of the content. One is really just looking at a practical, she's not as invested. It has never seen it. It's just going through. One is grammar. So all the various editors are so important. My editor was, so when I first came up with Pizza Night, I think I actually had 10 different pizza doughs. And she said to me, Allie, you're trying to make this simple for people. And it kind of seems complicated to have 10 different doughs. But I wanted to have like a whole wheat dough. And
yeah.
And so it was more, I was able to kind of in the notes section to be like, if you want to use whole wheat flour, like I recommend like these stone milled flours, just substitute in, 25% whole wheat flour as opposed to having a whole separate recipe.
Gotcha.
So there are four main dough recipes.
But there are 52 pizza recipes.
But there are 52 pizzas.
You know what? Let's take a quick break here. We got to hit the phones in a moment. 800-348-2551. Haley Whalen, Allie Stafford. We talk cookbooks in the grand conceptual way today on the program. We'll be back. That's Danny Dreher, Blues for CL here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Having so much fun talking about cookbooks with Haley Whalen and Allie Stafford. By the way, Haley, before we get to the email here and then the phones, if people are interested in joining this cookbook club, is it full? I mean, can people still do it?
Thank you for asking. I am always happy to talk about our cookbook club because it's my favorite thing we do at Arthur's. It is an annual club, so starting December 1st, we'll open membership for 2026.
Don't say prices. Good
point. I will not.
Public radio.
But the best way to find out about when the club launches for next year is just to follow us on Instagram or email.
And where are you? What's the name?
Hey, Arthur's? Great question. At Arthur's 1795, and our website's also Arthur's 1795.
Can't believe that you're so with it after having just had a child. It's incredible.
It really is. It's giving me undue credit.
Ellie in Cambridge, New York writes in, social aspects of cookbooks. This summer I was at the World Library and Information Congress, and a librarian from rural Mississippi gave a presentation on the importance of community cookbooks for local history and even genealogy. For example, phone books for years listed only male names, but church and community cookbooks, more often than not, were contributions attributed to women in the community. Also, the cookbooks were indicative of the socioeconomic situation of the community at the time. So keep those old community cookbooks and contribute them maybe to your local library if you really can't keep them at home anymore. And that's from Ellie in Cambridge.
I love that.
That's a great tip, yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. And let's go to the phones. We'll go to Beth in Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
Hi. I do know Allie personally, but I just had a quick question. My husband, shockingly, at age 40, is just learning how to cook. So I was wondering if there were certain recipes that he should maybe start off with or a cookbook that he could look into as he's learning.
Okay.
Oh, I have a great suggestion. It's called 12 Recipes. First of all, hi, Beth.
hi.
And it's by Cal Cal Peternell, and he used to be the chef of Chez Panisse, but he wrote this book actually for his children, and I think specifically his son or maybe both of his sons. But it's basically just 12 recipes, but within those 12 recipes, there are multiple variations. And they're basic, but I mean, again, he was the chef of Chez Panisse, so they're delicious. And he gives you lots of ideas on how to kind of elaborate on them. But the base recipe, like how to cook a really good pot of beans, I think like how to make a really good sauce. They're basic but delicious. Would be a great book to start.
Perfect.
Beth, I have a question for you now. Your husband's 40, 40-ish, whatever. I mean, it's a little late, right? Does he have any shot at success?
So he has maybe cooked about 4 times, and everything has been okay. But we also, when she talks about the people who don't have time, you look at a hockey family and you need to cook something very quickly.
Yeah.
So he also has a time constraint.
Okay.
Can I suggest a couple other books?
Sure.
Sure.
Start Here by Sola El Wehi is really, it's like a textbook. It's even like textbook paper material, which made me feel very nostalgic. Mm-hmm. And I think she has like How to Fry an Egg, but she also has some really delicious recipes that are a bit more complex. There's another book called How to Cook Everything, and it's not by one author. It's out of a British publishing house, and they did it as like another sort of how-to. And I found some of those recipes are like great, like coronation chicken. They're like a very simple go-to recipes in the UK, but not the same things I see every day here. And then Samin Nosrat salt, fat, acid, heat is also really good for learning about flavor.
What's the name of that?
Salt, fat, acid, heat.
It's the name of my second album.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Ray.
All right. Beth, thank you. You want to add anything before we let you go?
No, just, you know, same kind of thing as a shoemaker. He's the son of a baker. So it might be about time that he starts learning.
All right, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for the call. David writes in, my name's David Worth, semi-retired restaurant chef in Columbia County. Writing as I listen to the show and recipe test for a winter market I'm participating in November 22nd and 23rd at Stanfordville Farm at Stanfordville at Foxtrot Farm and Flowers. Mm-hmm. I'm using a recipe from Allie's Bread Toast Crumbs as a springboard and inspiration because I've made it many times and I know it works. That's the beauty of a great book. Its recipes are delicious, they always work, and as Allie said, making small changes within the tested recipe leads to success. Shout out to Allie, and that's from David.
That's so nice. Thank you, David.
See, you've made a difference. That's great. So what's your next book going to be about?
I don't know. I feel like I'm somebody who needs an idea. So like with Bread Toast Crumbs, like I had the idea because it was, you know, my mother's peasant bread and, you know, the loaf to crumb. It made sense. I had the three chapters were clear. The bread, the toast, the crumbs. Pizza Night, once I had the idea, the 52 pizzas and salads, one pairing for every week of the year, plus their five simple desserts. I had the idea I could work with it. It's also organized seasonally. So there's 13 pairings for every, you know, for summer, fall, winter, spring.
Yeah.
And I love a seasonally organized, arranged cookbook. So but if I think about writing like just so my blog is called Alexandra's Kitchen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I were to think about writing like sort of the Alexandra's Kitchen cookbook, I feel like I couldn't do it. I feel like I need more constraints. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I have a broad cookbook in me, but I'm not sure. I feel like I'm going to need some sort of like specific.
That's so funny that you say that because a topic can be too broad.
Yeah.
Even on this show, if a topic's too broad, nobody calls.
Sure.
If it's specific, people call. So if I'm a publisher of cookbooks, I'm not going to want that broad cookbook.
Right. Well, and they do. And some cook, I mean, it really depends. Like, you know, I'm sure everybody knows Deb Perlman. Her blog is Smitten Kitchen. She's incredible. And she's written the Smitten Kitchen cookbook. You know, that was her first cookbook. And then she's written a bunch of others that are sort of similarly broad. I mean, one is more like everyday focused. But I think some people, if they have a big enough audience, they can write their general cookbook. But overall, cookbook publishers, they want it to be very specific.
Yeah.
They want you to kind of drill down. So, which makes sense. I mean, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I love the fact that even within a specific topic, you know, you have sort of start to finish of a meal. I mean, you can have pizza night as a focal point, but you do have pizza, salads, a few desserts. You include sauce recipes and dressing recipes that, frankly, I've used even outside of Allie's recipes. So I feel like when you have a focal point, it doesn't necessarily mean that the book can't span a full meal or offer, you know, recipes that are applicable to other things. Mm-hmm.
Haley Whalen joins us today at Allie Stafford. Cookbooks is the overarching topic today. 800-348-2551. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go to John in Falls Village. Hello, John. Keep it clean, brother. You're on.
What could possibly go wrong?
I
love that intro to me. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're talking a lot about pizza, and my thing is I buy store-bought pizza dough, which doesn't relate at all to using a cooking book or making anything, but when I know how to use it and cut it out of the package and don't pull it and stretch it too much and let it rest and relax on the counter and reach room temperature, push it down with your fingers and spread it out and all that. But how do I get it off the surface that I made it on? I push it out, I spread it out, I put in my ingredients, and I put a cooking stone in the oven and get it nice and hot, the stone. How do I get it off my surface onto the stone?
Okay. That's
great
a good
question.
Yeah.
Well, I am a big proponent of using parchment paper on your pizza stone, or I have a baking steel. And so I would, if you are able, are you using oil to stretch the dough or mostly flour?
Absolutely nothing. I put a little flour on my cutting board. I squish the pizza dough out with my fingertips, and push around, around. Then I pick it up.
Okay.
And I stick it on my fist, and I stretch and flip it around a little bit, kind of like a pizza maker,
yeah.
And I slap it back down on the surface.
That's very
and
descriptive.
Put all the ingredients
that's,
on.
That, okay, we got it.
Okay, perfect. No, that's perfect. So you're able to lift it up. I just was worried that it was sticking to your countertop. So if you're able to lift it up, then put a piece of parchment paper on your pizza peel, transfer your dough to the parchment paper, and top it on the parchment paper, and then you're going to slide the parchment paper and all onto your preheated pizza stone.
Even if it's 500 degrees.
Yes, yes. Even if it will not burn.
Every
box of parchment paper will say, do not use above 400 or 450
right.
degrees. I use it at 550
okay.
convection roast.
No.
And it will not catch fire.
Our legal department might say, you know, if John's house burns down, you might not want to give that advice.
Do not use it under the broiler. It will burn under the broiler. But I have never had it catch fire in the oven. It will get a little charred.
Yeah.
And if you are worried, once you get it onto your stone, you can open up your oven 1 or 2 minutes in and then pull. It will slide right out. But that will make a seamless
cool.
transition from the pizza peel to the pizza steel or baking stone.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I've heard a lot about parchment paper lately. I'm 70 years old. I've been cooking all my life. I'm an Okie from Oklahoma, and I
cool.
do everything.
Hey, John, you know, I got to say, man, This is two shows in a row where you've completely behaved, and I really appreciate that. That's great. Thanks,
well, let
man.
Me just share one other thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love the title of your book.
Oh, Pizza Night?
The Bread Crumbs.
Oh, Bread Toast Crumbs. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so awesome. That is so awesome. I know, because I've written 121 titles to books.
Really?
And I don't know what's in the books. I don't know if they follow my title.
What the heck?
I do understand titles.
All right. Now.
Actually, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you.
Now we're getting to John's.
Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Now we're getting to where John really is.
Got
and
it.
It's messing with us. 800-348-2551 is the number. Okay, Haley Whalen. Now, tell us about what is happening at Arthur's Market.
Oh, man. Fall's always a busy time, and it's great. We get union students coming back in, their parents, faculty. There's the Stockadathon coming up.
What's
I don't know.
What's a Stockadathon?
The Stockadathon is a 15K race that starts right near the Stockade, which is our neighborhood in Schenectady, and finishes right near City Hall. It's
How
a running
is that good
race.
For business? If people are running, are they going to run in, take
it's
a
actually
break?
Not,
and then...
It's actually not good for business.
No, no.
That's a great point.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is, I don't know, I always feel like fall is just a very community feeling time of year, and the neighborhood feels bustling. We kind of focus on our day-to-day, the things that we do well, and then, you know, we're gearing up for holiday, which is always
exciting
a thing of its
times,
own. Yeah.
Exciting times.
Yeah. Great cookbook gifting period.
And, you know, thank you for reminding me. I should mention the live event. It's all about holiday cookbooks. It's going to be up at Franklin Square Market with me. They're dragging me out for another live appearance with Pam Abrams and Chef Annette Tomei. You want to find out more, it's WAMC.org. Look for On the Road. It's going to be November 3rd. From 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Very quickly here, this is from Ty in Chesterfield, Mass. Not sure if anyone mentioned it yet, but if there is one cookbook to own for American-style cooking, it's The Food Lab.
Mm-hmm.
Great for beginners mm-hmm. or the more experienced. It's a highly tested book that also looks at the science of cooking, also a James Beard Award winner. You guys familiar with that?
J. Kenji Lopez-Alt. He's amazing. Yes, love his books. Very well tested, and he really does dig into the science. I love his explanations and his style.
By the way, what is American style cooking?
I was thinking that when you were reading out loud.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's such a wide range. I mean, there are definitely dishes that I think people think of as American dishes, but good question.
You know, there's Italian cuisine, French cuisine. But they all have influences, too. They just
mm-hmm.
go back much further.
Right.
I mean, can you pinpoint an American dish, I guess? Maybe cheeseburger or something?
Yeah.
There was a really interesting history of, like, macaroni and cheese on, like, High on the Hog, which is a Netflix show.
Mm.
Inspiration was taken from France. I think I'm going to get all this history wrong. I think Benjamin Franklin sent his cook to France to learn how to cook, and he came home and sort of developed some of his own techniques. And actually, to the previous, I think it was emailer's point about community cookbooks, I'm sure there are threads through all those community cookbooks of, you know, pies, black-eyed peas, burgers.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. They're threads, but yeah, it's a hard question to answer in one succinct way.
Maybe that could be a topic for one of your quarterly cookbook deals, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Allie Stafford, tell us a little bit. We only have a couple of minutes here left. Tell us about your blog. What sort of things we'll find there?
Sure. So it's, let's see, it's almost 20 years old now at this point. So there are lots of recipes of all sorts of things. Most people find my blog, like stumble upon it by searching for bread during via Google. So either for focaccia or sourdough or so it's actually it's funny because I actually don't think of myself as like just a bread and pizza person, even though that's what I've written my books on. I really love all sorts of cooking. Like I love vegetables. I do a lot of vegetarian cooking, even though I'm by no means a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And my family is not vegetarian. I have a lot of respect for people who feed children on vegetarian diets because it's also very good and tasty. Yeah. You can find, I have recipes for anything you can.
So you can just pick one of those and make your next book about
it. I feel like vegetables.
There's a thing.
This is a public ploy to peer pressure Allie into a third book.
Yes, yes. They're probably on to us by now. We only have about 45 seconds, but Barbara in Ashfield is a late addition here. Barbara, very quickly, okay?
Okay. I have a question regarding trying to make bread with gluten flour. It just won't rise.
Gluten-free flour? Is that what you mean? Or
gluten-free?
It's gluten-free flour.
Okay.
I mean, it's gluten-free flour.
Do you know what specific? Is it a mix or is it like a specific, like is it garbanzo bean flour or...
No, it's a mix. It's usually rice and corn.
Only about 25 seconds here. This is a thorny question.
If you Google gluten-free peasant bread recipe, I have a recipe on my blog. It's pretty foolproof. So,
okay, once again, your blog's name and how can people find it?
It's Alexandra's Kitchen, and if you go to either alexandraskitchen.com or alexandracooks.com, you'll get there.
All right, Barbara, thanks. We're going to have to leave it there. Haley Whalen, how do people find out about Arthur's Market?
Our website is arthurs1795.com. Our Instagram handle is also arthurs1795. Cookbook club signups are available on the website. And you can also come visit us in person in the Stockade.
It's Edible Capital District, right? Is that the name of it? When's it out?
So we will be putting our holiday edition out on shelves the first week of November. I have neglected to mention that we do an Edible Reads column, which sometimes reviews cookbooks, not always.
Thanks for bringing that up at the end of the show.
Just throwing that in there. But find it on shelves the first week of November.
Well, thank you both for being here. Support comes from Testa's Pantry, Schenectady, celebrating 8 years of procuring olive oils and balsamics from curated producers selected by the Testa family to meet their exacting standards. Testa'sPantry.com. Real Pickles, a worker-owned cooperative in Greenfield, Massachusetts, producing organic fermented vegetables sourced from Northeast farms and found throughout the Northeast. RealPickles.com. And Barrington Brewery, Great Barrington, celebrating 30 years with solar-brewed beer served 6 days a week, serving 9 beers on tap and 1 cask-conditioned ale. Full menu available for lunch and dinner. BarringtonBrewery.net. Thanks again to Haley Whalen and Alexandra Stafford for being here today. Thank you for listening. A lot of fun today. Mike Mongo Bowen, beautiful job at the controls. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. I'll be back Monday at 2 for a medical Monday. Don't worry about that. You worry about having a splendid weekend. We'll see you next week.